Yes.
So I think we should dedicate our learning to Reiki
For
for ourselves.
happy 60th, yeah, she's
I
the
think she
just
is.
in her honor, or announcements in her honor.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so we are in Mishlei Perek Yud Zion, wending our way through
Yeah.
Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Yoled Kisil Tugalo, right? Giving birth to a fool. The one who gives birth to a fool, the Tugalo will be a grief to him. He translates here as who becomes the father of fool grieves, right? Your kids don't live up to your expectations. It doesn't make you happy. Lo yismach avi naval. And the father of a naval, how do you want to translate naval?
A disgusting person.
Yeah, for the vile man. I kind of went over this with Copilot, with the AI I have at work, and we
Yeah.
came up with jerk.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's kind of the
That
opposite.
might be an accurate thing. There's Ruthie.
Hi.
Sorry
So
about
the
that.
idea is
Someone
that
stepped on.
it's the opposite of a mensch.
Yeah.
So the
Was
father
it?
would.
What's Abigail's husband's name? Wasn't he Naval?
Yes. So she's the one who makes the comment to David, like, don't listen to my stupid husband. His name is Naval and he's a Naval.
Yeah.
Gotta watch out for wives like that. But the father of a naval, which I said the co-pilot kind of went back before. We were asking what a good English translation was, and we settled on jerk. So father of a jerk has no joy. Okay, and the literal meaning there is that it's hard when your children don't live up to your expectations. Right? You know what your kids want, and that's the real bug. Yolid kisil inya ish hamolid kisil, someone who fathers a fool. Yolid tolera'ah. He brings them up for bad. It's Allah. It's going to turn out bad for him. Yigdal, ki yigdal, when he grows up, you're going to go. He'll just embarrass his parents. Mitzad chisron dato, because he has no intelligence. Baroah in yano, and he thinks bad things. He's not going to bring me joy if he's a naval who does nevelot, stupid things. Oh, or says stupid things, right? It's always tough when your kids don't come out right. But we're reading Mishlei as a book of ethics. It's Musa, right? It's like, what should you do? So the way the Gra reads it is it telling us how I'm supposed to act. How do I interact with other people? And the yoled, the birthing, you know, like the raising someone is a metaphor for really for teaching. How do I interact with a student? Right, this is the way the Gra puts it. Ki rabo shalom do nikra aviv. That's a common expression in Tanakh that a rav, a teacher, is called an av, father. Nefesh, I have a spiritual father, ketuv, like it says with Elisha talking to Eliyahu, Elisha ro'ev, ek, as Elisha sees Eliyahu, his Rebbe flying into the air, in the fiery chariot, says avi avi. This means to sire a fool. Shlomei Torah facility. Try to teach Torah to a fool. It's just going to be miserable. Because he's going to argue. And he'll mock him with things that are just inappropriate. And then Yismach Aviv is father. When your child is called a Naval. When he does his idle, worthless, just hangs around, plays video games in the basement, speaks nonsense, that's a naval. Makes you sad. But I think it connects to what we said last time, which is about how I relate to others. Shlomo is not telling us that if you're having a kisil for a child, a student, makes you miserable. We know that. It's telling that if you are a yoled kisil, if you look at your students or children as fools, it will bring you misery. It will bring you grief. Treating your child as a fool or as a jerk will lead them to being kasil and naval. Children, students, and anybody we interact with live up or down to our expectations.
Well, doesn't the Torah really tell us to love that child more?
Specifically?
No, I mean, in the sense that, obviously, if the person's doing crazy things to get attention or whatever it is, he's seeking approval. He wants to be recognized in a favorable way, but instead he's getting negative feedback.
I mean, that may be true. I don't know if the Torah specifically says that, but I think with the message here is that the way, it's kind of like what we said before about Hochech Lolitz, Bias right? Rebuking the cynic and they'll hate you, Hochech Lechacham, that rebuking the wise, they'll love you. That's talking about the same person. If you treat them as a fool or a naval, they'll hate you, they'll fight back, and you'll be miserable. Treat someone as worthy of attention, and they'll live up to that.
I'm just thinking of Rabbi Ruthie, what was the rabbi's name that was went moved to Israel and he passed? Rabbi Krauss. So
We never knew.
he one time gave a Dvar Torah about the four sons, in the Pesach Haggadah, and he talked about who all these four sons. It could be the same person, you know what I mean?
I think
And
we mentioned that.
Who is the guy he catch, that you're supposed to punch him in the tooth or something?
That's the Ben HaRasha.
The Ben HaRasha. So
Catching
this
up.
is also like the Naval,
Right. What I'm saying it's not just that, if he's in
He's
Naval, then yes, you might this
the
that you can make someone a Kasil in Naval by how you what you expect from them.
right. So he basically said, in this case, you have everybody at your table and you want a good outcome. You don't want to have, a Russia. You don't want the person to be a Russia. So how do you get them there? You should love them more. That was his response.
I'm saying it's not so much to love, it's to treat them with respect,
Yeah,
valid.
I mean that's a kind of love, like saying just because he's behaving badly doesn't mean, that it's not worth an effort to encourage that person.
Shlomo continues and says, what you should do is Lev Sameach Yetiv Geha, that a happy heart improves the health. That's Geha, everybody else says. Geha is kind of a poetic Hebrew word for health. He says it's refuah. Hosea says the same thing. But I'm talking about this false God can heal you. It won't heal you from trouble. Okay, is that Lev Sameach Yetiv Geha, that a happy heart increases health. Ruach na beruach mecheah tiabesh garam, and but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. That's actually the origin of the expression laughter is the base, the laughter is the best medicine, is according to this website here, right? That laughter is the best medicine is derived from the Bible. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And the Rebbeinu says, that says that this is connected to the previous pasuk that your children are fools or jerks. Then you'll be miserable. Kitova Haraba that this person will be missing much good. That joy that is the best medicine. He'll have none of it. But I would read the way the Meiri does. So I don't have the actual Meiri. This is from the Ars Scroll Tehillim. That the pasuk is not so much that laughter is the best medicine that if I'm happy, then I feel better. I'll be more healthy. I should get myself to be happy. Tell you about effect on others. It's connected to that last puzzle we were talking about. That if I present the happy face, I will have this healing effect on others. My lips, Sameach, makes your Yetiv Geha, that improves your health. I can make you better. And this is the way the art school puts it. Miri comments that the verse refers to doctors and teachers. I don't know if it's necessarily the doctors is the metaphor. I don't think he's not really talking to us doctors here. But when we're teaching, we're acting with others. When they are cheerful and optimistic, their patients and students feel confident that they will do well and they will respond better to medical treatment teaching. On the other hand, if doctors and teachers appear to be pessimistic, their patients and students will respond in kind. Ruach Nechiya Tebesh Garam, the despondent spirit, if you just expect the worst, your students will do the same. And this is called the Pygmalion effect. Have you heard of this famous experiment? This is from the 1960s when they didn't have ethics in experiments, so they could just lie to people. So this was at a California elementary school. They administered a bogus Harvard test of inflected acquisition to 320 students and told teachers that 20% of the children were identified as intellectual bloomers that were poised for significant academic growth that year. It was entirely made up. They just rolled the dice on which ones they said these kids are going to do great and these kids won't. By the end of the school year, these randomly designated students showed greater gains in IQ scores compared to their peers, particularly reasonability among younger students, demonstrating that teachers' unconscious expectations translated into differential treatments, such as increased attention. Well, they're putting causes. We don't know what the cause is here, but presumably the attention curve opportunities boosted student motivation and achievement. And never mind, someone they named it the Pygmalion effect from the myth of Pygmalion and Galatea. Yeah, the sculptor basically brought his sculpture to life. The golem effect is the inverse. That's called when you turn someone into a golem. The negative form of self-fulfilling prophecy, low expectations, result in decreased performance and poor outcomes. Now, it's a psychological study, which means that it's not reproducible. It's not, you can't take it seriously, but none of these studies are. So just think of it as a mashal. I would say just put a king in front of it, right? There's a king who had who told one of his sons that he was very smart, and the other told the other one that he had potential, and the first one thrived and the second one failed. That's the mashal. And the pasuk says that's what a lev sameach, a happy heart increases health, but a despondent spirit, a crushed spirit, dries up the bones. And so that we have, so you need to look at other people that you have some influence on and be optimistic, be happy with them. And that's what we have Shammai's famous statement from Pirkei Avot. Shammai Omer, greet everyone with a cheerful countenance.
This is Shammai, the famous
This
Shammai.
is the famous Shammai. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about.
Was usually a little on the negative side.
Right, that's where we're going with this. That's exactly right. So this is Shammai's statement, okay? And this is about the Barvi Natan expanding on that. Be cheerful for everybody, okay? So what does that mean? If you give someone all the gifts in the world, but you look miserable about doing it, considers it like giving nothing. But greeting someone cheerfully with a smile, feel lo natan lo klum, even if you don't give him anything. Malala katuv ki ilu natan lo kol matanot hatovot sheba'olam. Torah considers it as though you've given all the greatest gifts in the world just by smiling. Just by smiling. And you point out this is the Shammai who says this. Because we know the story, right? We've heard these stories. We're going to look at that because it's Gemara and Shabbos. About the non-Jews who come to be converted.
Not
So there are a couple of
well.
stories. One of them is Shuv Ma'aseh B'goy Echad, Shebal Lifnei Shammai. Non-Jew comes to Shammai. Amar lo, says to him, Gironi, convert me, I'm not shetilamdeni kol haTorah kulak, sheni omed al regel achat. Teach me the whole Torah, or convert me as long as I can learn the whole Torah, I'm standing on one foot. it does. So Shammai whacks him with the ruler that he has in his hand, like a nun whacking ruler on the knuckle. I push him away, both to Hillel, and he comes to Hillel. Gerurah accept him into his Gerur classes. Amarlo, and so he says to this Jew, "Da'alchasani l'chaverchalotavid. What is hateful unto you, do not do unto others. Zeh kol Torakula. This is the Torah. Idach pirushua. He, and the rest is commentary. Zil gemor. And so you need to go learn. We know that story. Another story, similar one. Shumaseh b'goy achad. There's another story with another non-Jew. She'over achorei beit midrash. That passed by the Beit Medrash. Shema kol sofer, she omer, and he heard the one reading was reading the Pesukim in Parshat Sabbath. Ela b'gadim asher yasu, these are the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, choshen, beifo, the breastplate, all the gold and the royal purple and the blue and the gems. Amar, as he goes in, asks, "Hello me, who's making all these clothes? Who are they making for?" Amrulo, so he told him, the Kohen Gadol. Okay, this is a time of Hillel and Shammai, so there's still a bit to me. Thus, that's Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol gets these clothes. Amar Togel Batsmo, so this non-Jew says to himself, Elech Vitkayer, so I'll go and convert to these Jews, Simuni Kohen Gadol, so if they'll make me the Kohen Gadol, I'll get these fancy clothes. That sounds really cool. Good reason to convert. Balafne Shammai, so he goes to Shammai, Amar Lo, and tells him, Yiruni Almanacha Tesimini Kohen Gadol. You're Kohen Gadol. I want you to convert me so I can become the Kohen Gadol. So what does Shammai do? Dachfoba mat habinyan should be a do. Push him away with the yardstick that's in his hand. Same thing. Both Hillel. So then he goes to Hillel, Gire, and he accepts him into his Gire, his conversion classes. Amarlos. So he starts teaching him. Kluma midin melech elamishiyodeh tachsise malchut. I know you want to be Kohen Gadol, but you know we cannot, we can't. We're not going to put anyone as the king unless they actually know the laws of the kingdom. So lech lamod tachsisei malchut. So now you need to know the laws of our kingdom. You know, what are the rules of being Kohen Gadol? Malach v'karas. So he started learning it. Even Jigia gets the pasuk about zar hakarev yumat, right? Not a stranger, someone who's not a Kohen who comes to do the avoda shall die. Amar, so he asks Hillel, who's teaching him. Who's this czar? Who's this stranger? Amar, they said, Afilu al David Melech Israel. Anyone who's not Cohen. Anyone who's not born Cohen, even the king of Israel, David himself, cannot offer a carbon on the Mizbeah. So this Ger, as he's learning, sorry, made a kavachomer, thinking to himself that Ma Yisrael should include banim lamakom, even someone who's born Jewish can't become a Cohen Gadol, Ger. Call me a lowly convert to Baba Maklova Tarmi Lo, that I'm just coming, you know, begging literally with my staff and my knapsack. I can't. So both of them kind of learn, but they were accepted in the first place. But the point, obviously, is that we know that Shammai doesn't seem the kind of person who's Makabel Kol Adam B'Sevar Panim Yafot. So what's he saying? So Rabbi Lau, the previous Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, the chief rabbi in Israel, has a sefer on Pirkei Avot. He says that basically Shammai learned his lesson. So this is the Gemara continues in these stories of all these gerim that Hillel accepted. That after a while, they all got together. Three of these converts got together. They had a whole whole Hillel Gerut class reunion. They said, Kaptanoshel Shammai, Bikshala Tordeta Mina Ola. Shammai's impatience and negativity would have removed us from the world, the spiritual world that we're now part of. Avonotao shel Hillel, but Hillel's humility, willing to be patient with us, Pervenu Taka Kapeashkan has brought us under the shift. So this is where Rav Lau puts it. Itan spirit amudot shel Shammai. Can you explain Shammai's opinion? They came to divrei Shammai. So it seems that Shammai's words, when he says, "Have a makabel kol adam b'sevar panim yafot," greet everyone cheerfully. Nimru la'achar, la'achar shenochach, ki efshar le'shenochach, ki efshar le'kariv et ha'nochrim halalu. Came after he realized that it was possible to convert these non-Jews. He pushed them out with the wrong attitude and realized that he was wrong. Even despite their negative attitudes. The truth, fact is that Hillel eventually did bring them. He brought them in. And Hillel didn't compromise, didn't waive their responsibilities under the halacha, right? Didn't say, yeah, I'll teach you the whole Torah just on one leg, or yeah, you can be the Kohen Gadol. He brought them, he taught them, and brought them into and pulled them away from their original intentions, by guiding them on ways of pleasantness, by guiding them nicely. Just like they said originally, when they got together in the hotel. Shammai's impatience would have taken us out of this world. That's what it, seeing that Shammai now says, here's the Kabbalah Kol Adam B'Sevar Panim Yafot. We should greet everybody happily, even the ones that are completely unreasonable. Without exception. And even if they're coming with intention, the intention to insult, be negative, you can still greet them happily, and you can eventually bring them over to the good, to the side of the good. And really, this was based on a sicha of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So that's Lev Sameach Yetiv Gaha. Keep your cheerful face on. Then Shlomo turns and talks about bribery. Shochet Michek Rasha Yikach. Wicked man takes a bribe, literally mechik, from the bosom, from his inside pocket. Everyone translates that as in secret. Okay, mechik, the Ibn Ezra is nistar, kachashok, he takes the bribe. Latot orchot mishpat, to warp the ways of justice, to pervert the ways of justice. And it's not clear whether
The hatot to tempt there.
no, hatot is to cause to tilt or to slip.
Okay.
Right? You should always tilt to the side of the majority. So I like his translation here, pervert. That works. I always use the word warp there. Okay, right? That and the Russia takes the bribe in secret. It's not clear whether he's the one giving the bribe, right? He's taking it out in secret to give it to the judge, or he's the one taking it. Right, taking the bribe in secret, but he does it in secret. He's taking a bribe, and he's going to warp justice. It's bad. We know this is bad. The Pasuk already says this is in Devarim, lo tateh mishpat. Don't they get the same word, lo tateh mishpat. Don't pervert justice. Lo takir panim, don't show favoritism. Lo tikach shochad, don't take bribes. Ki ashochad yaver chachamim, because bribery will blind the eyes of the wise. They'll set you yisalef divrei tzadikim and warp just words. And so Rabbi Yonah says that this is that a Torah his here al shofet shlo yikach shochad. The Torah is telling here this talk, that we're interpreting talking about the taking the Torah. This pasuk is lo tikach shochad. Don't take bribes. But ta balo diaki notena shochad. Read this as the Rasha is giving the bribe, taking it out of his intake, in secret, and giving it to the judge, that giving a bribe is also evil, because the bribery will warp the justice, and will pervert the ways of righteousness of justice. And that's true, but it doesn't fit our theme. Right? We haven't talked about judges, we're talking about how we act with other people. So Rashi has a different take entirely, completely. It says that bribery isn't always wrong. We know the Birkat Kohanim.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
What is Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha? That expression of Lasi Panim has a specific meaning. Here's in Vayikra, Lo Tasu Avo Bamishpat, don't do wrong injustice. Lo Tisa Pnei Da, right? Don't lift up the face of the poor. Let's Tisa Panim. Don't show favoritism. Lo Tadar Pnei Gadol, and don't literally light up the face of the rich. Tzedek, be just. Also, panim means to show favoritism, to take the bribe. Similarly, we talk about Hashem doesn't take bribes. Hashem Elohim, God is the God of all the powers, but Adonai, master of all masters. Right? We say that davening. Asher lo yisa panim, same expression. Lo yikach shochad, not take bribes. Tim doesn't take a bribe to warp justice. And the Gemara says, yes, he does. Derech Rav Avira, Gemara Brachot, Zimnin Amar Lishmeid Rabbi Ami, Zimnin Amar Le Lishmeid Rabbi Asi. So Rav Avira would say this, and sometimes he quoted the name of Rabbi Ami, sometimes Rabbi Asi. He forgot who actually said it. He should always try to say that whatever it is, the name of the person who originally said it. But Amar Malchei Asher Baruch Hu, the angels complained to God. But I got it to start that way. Yibonah Shalom. The Torah says, "Asher lo yisa panim lo yikach shochad." It says, "You don't show favoritism. You don't take bribes to favor one side or the other in justice." Lo atah nosei panim Yisrael, but you show favoritism to Israel. D'ktiv yisa Hashem panav elecha. Hashem will actually lift up his face to you in the sense of we'll show your favoritism. Amar lahem. So Hashem says, "You're right. It's a problem, right? V'chi lo asa panim Yisrael. How can I not show favoritism to Bnei Yisrael? Shekatati lehem b'Torah, v'chalta v'savata v'virachta Hashem Elokecha, that you should eat and be satisfied, and then bench and thank God. Hey, medakti gimatzmam al kazayit al kabeitzah. They will say birkat hamazon. They will thank me even after they have just a kabeitzah or kazayit. Right? They're bribing me." That's a right. Benching on a kazayit is a powerful bribe to Hashem. Now Hashem says, you know, look, he lost up anymore. How can I not show favors to them? So why that? Why the kazayit? And this is a long explanation from Rav Kook. It's interesting enough. I want to go through it. Hashem takes bribes. Source 22. And this is from the Ein Ra'ah. This is a commentary on the Gemara Bracha. Yisod midat ha-mishpat ba'olam, yisod midat ha-mishpat ba'olam, enena nekama chalil. So the idea of justice, of punishing those who do wrong, is not a matter of revenge, chalil, God forbid. It's not. Ki ma'aderech la'adrich el ha-shlemut, but it's a way of correcting. That's the purpose of punishment, that make the person better. Shehu tachlit ha-nisgavah, that's the highest purpose, to that you reach the sense of shlemut, spiritual perfection. It can make you better by the punishment. Vitura because there will be no benefit to simply letting justice lapse. Don't punish those who have done wrong. Lo atorah chisaron at a klal or a plot, because whatever that ruling would improve, right? I want, whether it's, you know, in general or in one specific area, onesh. If you don't actually respond to it, some kind of negative reinforcement is going to let it remain there. Hashem master is going to respond to someone doing the wrong thing. Imkain, so that's not doing someone a favor by not punishing them. That's bad. We need to know this. Chalila, and God forbid that Hashem would not do such a thing to not discipline. Alkain, nimnat b'chodin, therefore, taking a bribe, favoring one side, not punishing those who need to be punished, is impossible, is forbidden. For Yishara Kol Kolel Gamprati, and because if you don't, whatever is lacking, whatever mistake happened, that's going to remain. Well, I can't. I feel Yadam Kalil Chamudot. So therefore, someone who is otherwise perfect, that still all their virtues will not be able lachria feel vater mishkekal. They can't get when a mamik Hashem wave even a sim even the smallest mistake. Hashem was going to be just, but I'm not. But there is one kind of virtue, general virtue, of attitude that person has that actually leads, that will say that okay, Hashem can go easy in terms of the mishpat, in terms of the justice. Someone who has this particular virtue, shleimut, will end up becoming better. Gam yagish she'en kan alav ches elyon yoter me'roi lo. Even if he feels, oh, yesh kan, even if he feels that, well, God let me get away with something. I mean, that's the problem. If you don't get punished for something, then you feel, I got away with it, I can do it again. Hashem is going to punish. But no, if you're this kind of person, he's going to tell you what kind of person, you won't do that. That's someone who has hakarat tovah. Someone who should go gratitude. Real gratitude. To appreciate whatever they're giving. Isher hikir. Someone who has true gratitude, Allah Hashem talks to Hashem, and always acts that way. Kashir, when you feel, when you realize it, that Hashem did not act the way he, that person, deserved. Hashem didn't punish him. I did something wrong, and I wasn't punished for it. Lo tivio lo. That this won't cause him to say, okay, I don't have to be good. I don't need to go in the right way because I'm not going to get punished, which is what we're trying to avoid. Now he's going to say, no, Hashem did me a favor. Yosef omets b'derech yasha. They're going to work even harder to do the right thing. So it gives you another reason to be grateful to Hashem. Hashem, I know I deserved it. I did be punished. You didn't. Let me go easy. Thank you. Okay, so such a person, that person Hashem will go easy on in terms of mishpat, because that will accomplish the desired purpose of getting the person improved. Having hakarat hatov to Hashem, recognizing, okay, this is what I deserve, and I got better more than that. That's what leads us to this yisa panim. Hashem will do us a favor. We'll show favoritism or justice. Okay, but Amram ech yisa panim Israel. So Hashem says, look, how can I not show favoritism, be biased toward Israel? Amar shekach yatalehem biyotam machzigim umutavim b'midat hakarat davar lishmoi. They are express and they have built in this sense of gratitude. How do you know they have gratitude? In the fact that they say Birkat HaMazon, they thank me for what they have. When I didn't say, well, there's no mitzvah to. The mitzvah is achalta v'savata. When you're full, then you have to bench, and they do. They'll say bracha achron on anything. That when they have anything from me, they get a little bit of food. They can't avoid the feeling. They can't hold back the feeling of gratitude. Because I have a kabbesa, and they'll say birkat hamazon, even a small amount. So Hashem says they deserve to have this favoritism, and just not be punished. And they will get chesed more than they deserve. That's what a bribe here is. They're going to show gratitude to me. I'm going to go easy on them. But specifically, it's the Birkat HaMazon. So the truth is that the person eats and is full. They don't want any more. He has that. Right, he has that general sense of, okay, thank you, I'm good here. Yoto yashar, that's right. If a person's good enough, then that person will say thank you. Hashem made me satisfied, gave me enough food, great. But if you're getting at what you need to eat with difficulty, and you have barely enough, a dinner up, and you're still hungry, you're not so bad. Im kozeh, despite this, you're del Hashem chasdo, amatim musag, and your response is not, I'm still hungry. Can I, where's the rest of my food? But thank you, Hashem, for what you've given me. And you can suppress that instinct to complain. Because you have this strong feeling of gratitude. That's Hashem's going to say, that person will get more chesed, will not be punished. Rav Tovia Temimato will get more than they deserve because they will express that gratitude and they will get better for everything they get. They're not complaining. We'll make them worse. Because they will have these two competing feelings, complain about not having enough and gratitude for what you have. But is that your breath zova? Clearly, they'll choose the right one. That's where Hashem will show favor to them. If you, the act of benching, express that gratitude, even the small amount. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to say thank you for what I have. They say brikarmazon even the small amount. Even if they don't have, they can't say that they filled the chata. They're not full. They still want more, but still say thank you. It's a Rashi. That's all on. He's up on him. Rashi here says that's what the pasuk's talking about. Shochad mechek rasha yikach. If the rasha can pull this kind of shochad, this kind of bribe, to Hashem, mechek from his heart, v'hatot orachot mishpat, that will warp the ways of justice. This is Rashi. Mechek Hashem will accept the feeling, the words of humility, and begging, pleading from the bosom of the Rasha'im, that's something that's said in secret from their heart between Hashem and them. That Hashem will change their judgment from bad to good. Even someone who's a Rasha who can express that humility, Hashem will still find favor with them. Now, I'm not sure that fits with our interpreting of Sefer Mishlei as a book of Musar, right? It's not telling you that you had to act, telling you how to, it shouldn't be how do I say tshuva to Hashem, it should be how do I interact with other people. But I think the idea is the same, is that I can, part of what I can do is bribe other people. That's the Sefer Panim Yafod. Respecting them, offering them the smile, that's the bribe. And that ends up, taking away the midat hadin and creates the midat harachamim. You should bribe others by being unreasonably nice. Okay? And that's what, and that the ultimate bribe is this mekabel, the sefer panim yafo. That's what the Rabbi Nathan said. It's like malakatuk, ilu natan kol matnot tovot shabalam, like giving all the gifts in the world. Okay? There's a great quote, Anne Herbert was a teacher, right? Practice random kindness and senseless acts of beauty. See the bumper sticker?
No, but it sounds
You
like a nice
haven't seen the
bumper
bumper sticker.
sticker.
It's a good bumper sticker. You want to practice random kindness. And in fact, we saw this in the two sessions
Who, Danny, whose mother never said to them, "You get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar."
That's a common expression. Yes, that is certainly true.
So I
It's one of
mean.
the expressions. It's interesting because it's not literally true. If you actually want to catch flies, you're better off with the vinegar than the honey. But it's a metaphor, yes. And that remains true, right? We saw the pasuk earlier in this perek, Evan chen ha-shochad be'enei balav, that bribery is a precious gem in the eyes of its owners, the ones who have it. A kol ha-shefei yaskil and be successful in whatever they do, right? It's a positive thing. To bribe others by being, sorry, no, aren't. Bribing others by being unreasonably nice, right? As senseless acts of beauty works out for everyone. It works. But this here, it calls the person who does it a rasha. Shochet mechik rasha yikach. I propose here, chek is means in secret, with hidden motivations. Okay, meaning that if your random kindness isn't really random, but the goal is la'tot orchot mishpat, you're trying to warp justice there, then you are a rasha, right? I'm using that kindness to manipulate other people, and that was there's a fascinating article about what it means to be a con man. Or am I? To be a con man, you have to understand people. You have to get them at a very deep level. This was from The Economist. Here, a con man is essentially a salesman, or market, a good one, who excels at making people feel special and understood. Con man validates the victim's desire to believe he has an edge on other people. It requires avid study of psychology and body language. It's an amazing paradox. A con man has incredible emotional insight without the burden of compassion. Must take an intense interest in other people, complete strangers, and work to understand them, yet remain detached and uninvested. The plan is to cheat these people and also ultimately confirm many of their fears cannot be of concern. Now you can prey on their emotions and do evil, because con men are evil, undeniably so, Lovell says. He smirks, admitting pride in past cons. Okay, that's the shochah mechik rashayach. Somebody who gives this kind of shochah, this bribery, being nice to other people, but with these hidden motivation. So don't be that person. Be good for goodness sake.
Usually, con men are in it to try and get something for their own behalf.
Right, that's what it is. But in order to do that, you have to understand the other person's needs.
Right, but I'm just saying here, it sounds like you're trying to encourage people to follow the path, or you know what I mean, the path that Hashem has set
Yes,
before.
that's what we're saying. That's what you're trying to do with this pasuk, or warning you that don't be the Russia. Don't be the one who's mechik.
You might have good motivations to begin with, but you could end up being off the derech.
Could be. Yeah, but it's about talking about you as the, you're being nice to other people. Do it. Because if you don't, you're going to turn them into the Naval. But your goal is not so I can use them to manipulate them, take advantage of their feelings and their needs. The goal is to make the world a better place.
The goal is to make them what?
The world a better place.
Yeah.
Okay, and then he continues, et pnei mevin chachma, there is wisdom before or in front of the one who has understanding. You're a mevin, there's chachma right in front of you. But any kasil, but the eyes of the fool, b'kseh aretz, are looking out to the ends of the earth. And being wise means seeing wisdom right in front of you. The fool is one who looks for wisdom far away. Rabban explains that any mevin yimseh, someone who is a mevin, understands how the world works, will find wisdom in front of them. Ki b'chol ma sheyagish, oto me devarim, and se'im that whatever he experiences, he's going to learn something from. You can learn from everyone, from every experience. You'll learn amazing things. That when you try to look, think about what's going on, what's happening. But a fool is someone who wants wisdom, wants to learn something. He's looking out to the ends of the earth. The only place I can find wisdom is far away. Climb a mountain to see the guru. Yatzel, he's going to give up. He's going to get lazy. He's not going to bother. Right? The fool is one who feels that wisdom is far away. That's the famous quote in Devarim about Lobashamayim, source 29. That Moshe says that this mitzvah, this Torah I'm giving you today, it's not too far from you, it's not too hard for you, it's not too far away, right? It's not in the heavens anymore, that you say, who could possibly get to the heavens? That will teach us and we'll do it then. And we know the interpretation of that, right? Don't look to the heavens for a prophecy for halach, right? It's down on earth. The famous story of Tanoh Shel Achnai. and rub
Oh,
both.
that's, yeah,
Both.
that's the oven.
Right. Or this is the Gemara Temura, saying that Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shlosha Alafim Halachot Nishkechu B'Yemei Evelo Shel Moshe. Right, Moshe taught Bnei Israel the Torah, and it says that after he died, as their mourning, 3,000 questions came up, and no one could remember what the halacha was. Amru lo Yeshua, so they tell Yeshua, Shaul, okay, do what Moshe did. Go ask God what the answer is. Amrulay, so he said, Amrulaham, he says to them, Lo bashamayim, no, Lo bashamayim hi, we can't, at this point, the Torah's been given, it's fixed, it's given to us, we have to figure it out. Rek continues that Otniel ben Kenaz kind of worked out what the answers must be. You have a halachic question, you can't ask God. That's Lo bashamayim hi. But the next pasuk, Lo me'evar layam hi, it's not over the sea. More me have our to Abraham because Lenu. Now who's going to cross the sea and bring it to us? That we should do, we can learn it and do it. Karo, it's very close to you. Bicha in your mouth, in your heart, it's also time to do it. Okay? And I think that's what that means, is that the Kasil, someone is looking far for wisdom there. Don't do it. It's lo me'evar, it's right here. Here's my SMBC. We don't climb the whole mountain, find the guru at the top, ask for advice, because he's going to tell you, all good advice is obvious. Work hard, make things, find love, brush your teeth, etc. Hard thing is taking the obvious advice. And this is a kasiel. I thought it was clear from context, but I'm looking, asking for is a trick to experience fulfillment without making any effort, making any hard choices. And that's the kasiel who is, a naked seal of whose eyes are to the ends of the earth. And that's the idea of you ought to respect your local Orthodox rabbi. Right? You don't have to go to the ends of the earth. Don't find some far away. It's right in front of you. This is Luke Gil Studer's article about the local rabbinic authority, that especially that a local rabbi knows who you are. But more than that, it's not just from the rabbi, but it may be knows the value of respecting everyone. Learning from everyone. Lamein b'kol adam, same idea, and that's why, as part of what it goes into, makabel kol adam b'sever panim yafot. Don't push them away. Even the non-Jew says, okay, I want to become Jewish. Teach me Torah so I can become a Kohen Gadol. There probably was something to teach you there. Certainly, it'd be saying that Shammai learned something from that whole experience. And so Shlomo comes back to where we started with Ka'as la'aviv, ben kasil, a foolish son rather brings grief to his father. And again, ka'as, usually me to translate anger, art scroll says, no, it's sometimes it denotes anguish, grief. And we have an example that where Hannah is telling Ellie, I'm not drunk when I'm standing here talking to myself in the Mishkan. Don't consider me one of these wanton women. I'm talking so much out of my kaas. And she's the kaas of not having a child. And clearly there, it's not talking about angry. It's the grief, the anguish. So too, the kaas of you. Umemer and his bitterness, and bring the fool. This foolish child brings bitterness to the one that who bore him. But you could translate memer here. This memer liyalduto. Not as mar bitter, but as like a ben sorer morer rebellion. As the Gra says that morer neged neged. And rebels, okay? That interpret the way we interpret the first pasuk. It's cause and effect. Kazlavi, anger for a parent, for a teacher, for anyone who has to interact with anyone else, will result in a ben kasil. That person will become the fool. They will not learn. You will not get a chance to improve them. Will memorize the two, and then I'm rebelling. Rebelling comes from that anger, right? That's if you drive them away with the amasha biyado, with a yardstick in your hand, they're not going to learn. You can bring them in. not having Sefer Panim Yafot keeps that others from learning the Chachma that you have to offer. I would say that Shammai learned that and discovered that, and that's what it means to say laughter is the best medicine. Smile at everyone. Don't laugh at them.
You can't believe the amount of Torah you learned to give this class.
Hey, one more time.
I'm saying I can't believe how much ground you covered to teach this class. It's like
Hey,
rare.
it's fun. I'm like I said, I'm learning all of this, right? I'm just trying from here and trying to pull pieces together that seem to fit. And I think it works. But like, this is Mikom Malam Da. I'm learning this as I go here. So thank you so much for.
How do you even know where to look from A to B to C to E to? That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you even put this together? That's the main,
What's your method to your madness is her question.
What's your
Okay.
method?
So start by looking at a couple psukim at a time and try to find some common thread. Look at the mefarshim. For the Mishle, it's the Gra and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Malbim to some also. Kind of see what appeals to me and what fits in with things I've said before. Using Google to find what have other people written about this particular pasuk and say,
But
yeah, I
I'm
didn't
just
like
seeing so many sources. Like, I mean, are you like sitting in a room full of all these books? Or are you like going on it?
this is all mostly on the computer here.
That's just amazing that you can
It's all
like
online. Yeah, and then the other
have
thing
a computer to find all this stuff.
is doing a lot of reading and paying attention to what you read. So these things like this article on the con man has been in my kind of back pocket for years.
It also speaks to your memory that you remember that you've read something and that you can pick out those parts that remind you how you associate things, because not everybody can do that.
I work hard. That's how I think that is it. Yeah. So taking those and it's taking notes and think, okay, I want to remember this. I won't. I may not. But okay. Just the act of putting a little post-it in the book or having a long list of things here. I'll give you my secret supply.
But your associative memory is quite remarkable, I just want to say, because mine is going
Okay,
crazy.
so here is, I call this Makarot. That's just notes I've taken that I think, oh, that's interesting. Some point I'll probably use that.
Wow, that's
And I keep
amazing.
adding to that.
I didn't have this in my mind when you flashing this before me. Now I see, but I did have this overwhelming sense of how much information you've put together, the
Like
knowledge
that,
of.
like this. I have no idea what I'm going to use, but I'm going to. But being a parent of a toddler is one constant exercise in triage. It's not a matter of whether your child will injure itself. It will. Oh, yes, it will. It's a process of seeing that what your kid is doing is saying, oh, that results in bruising yourself and crying a lot. Carry on. Or, that will result in tripping the emergency room. I should step in now. Like I said, I don't know when, but I will. I'll help you. Okay, so I'm going to stop here.
Thank you for that lesson in how you think.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's see, Mr. Shem, I'll have something more to say by next week. We'll find out.
I'm out of town next week, so I don't know if I'll be on Zoom or not, depending on what we're doing. We're going to Florida.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Sarasota?
Sarasota. Yay. We're going to
Yay.
Longboat. I'm done with Miami. I'm just going only to Sarasota now because I have learned my lesson.
Why, what lesson?
But I guess if I need any pots or pans, I can ask your daughter. We're bringing
Yes.
our own pots or pans.
Okay. Yes, we do.
Yeah, my lesson is I don't like Miami. I like the West
That
Coast.
was very
Oh,
nice.
cool. That's good. Yeah. Okay. Talk to you
Okay.
guys
Bye
soon.
all. Have a good night.
Everybody. Tadarva.
It's going to be hot, though. It's
Yes.
going to be hot here, too. So.